The light through the tent cloth roused. The surf on the beach lulled. And like a log rolling up and down in the breakers, I'd rocked any number of times between sleeping and waking as I nursed a vague and uneventful dream about the geometers. Some part of my mind had become obsessed with remote manipulator arms on the probe that they had sent out to fetch the Warden of Heaven, and had been consuming vast dark energies dwelling on them, sharpening and embellishing my memories, building them up into a hybrid of seen and imagined, theorics and art, that encoded all sorts of weird ideas and fears and hopes. I fended off wakefulness as long as I could, since that would lose me the dream, and I lay there, half-conscious, waiting for something to happen, willing the dream to move ahead, to reveal something. But I only grew more restless, for nothing occurred but what sprang from my own thinking. Endlessly deeper study of the joints, bones, bearings, and actuators of those arms, which in my imagination had become as complex as my own arms and hands, and styled with the same organic curves as the parts of our clock that Cord used to make for Saman. The only new thing that developed in that dreaming was that, at the very end, I turned my attention from the arms to the imaging devices that I guessed must be present on the bodies of those probes. But those lenses, supposing they were there, were guarded by clusters of spotlights. And when I tried to stare into them and meet the geometer's gaze, all I could see was explosions of glare, held apart by utter blackness. Frustration succeeded in waking me up where daylight, the smell of cooking food, and the other's conversation had failed. I could not move matters forward, save by waking up and doing something. Ekba was beautiful, in a hot and harsh way. It had taken us a day simply to erect defenses against sun and heat. We had found an east-facing cove north of a precipitous rocky headland that afforded us shade for much of the day, and Yule had showed us ways to anchor stakes deep in the sand, which enabled us to put up tarps that blocked the sun of late afternoon. The only time we really got blasted with it was first thing in the morning, before the heat got too bad. A smaller island half a mile offshore broke and diffracted incoming surf, so waves here were small but unpredictable. The cove was too shallow and rockbound to be of any use to any but the smallest boats, so it had never, as far as we could tell, been settled or used for anything. We kept expecting someone to rush up, gaudy with insignias, and eject us, but it didn't happen. The place was not private property. It was not a park. It was simply there. Ekba's only real settlement, other than the math at Orathena, enveloped the ferry terminal 5 miles away in a straight line, 15 by the road that traversed the island's shore. A desalination plant, powered by the sun, made and sold water there. Yule had filled a couple of musty-smelling military surplus water bladders when we had arrived. Between that and the food we'd bought from farmers on the mainland, we wouldn't really have to make another supply run for a week. The day after we had made the camp and pitched the tarps had been, by unspoken, unanimous agreement, a time to rest. Beat-up books had appeared from bottoms of bags. Someone was always snoring, someone always swimming. I borrowed a pair of long-nosed pliers from Cord and yanked my stitches out, then sat in the surf up to my neck until the wounds went numb. There is more I could, but won't, say about healing. Watching my body marshal its forces of regeneration was fascinating at the time, and probably accounted for the weird dreams I had been having about the metallic limbs and crystal organs of the alien probe. There was the temptation to ponder and philosophize about the relationship between mind and body, but the lorite in me said it would be a waste of time. More efficient to find a library and read what better thinkers had written on it. During the following 2 days, the members of our party had one by one begun to show some gumption and to explore. Late yesterday, Yule had shattered the calm of the place by starting the engine of Cord's fetch, and some of us had gone for a dawdling 2-hour circumnavigation of the island. The location of the volcano was, of course, no secret. There was hardly a place from which it couldn't be seen. It was steep, which, as Fra Heligastrim had taught me, meant that it was dangerous. Some volcanoes produced runny lava that spread out quickly. These were lens-shaped and safe, provided you could walk faster than the lava. Others made thick lava that moved slowly and built steep slopes. These were dangerous because pent-up pressure had no outlet except for explosions.